The Lifeboat Hour with Michael Rupert, Sundays at 9 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
From a nightclub at the end of the world, this is Michael C. Rupert. Welcome back to another installment of the Lifeboat Hour, doing ringside calls at the end of the world. It's fun. It's Sunday, July 31st. And it looks like we have a budget deal. It's not announced yet, but the stories are coming out of the majors now showing great optimism and all that. But I went and looked at the Asian markets right before the show tonight. The Asian markets are all picking up. That information, I'm sure, has been communicated. The dollar is starting to pick up a little bit, but the weakening of the dollar is far from resolved here. So what does this mean? Do we walk away from this very intense drama of the last week? I mean, it's been a hell of a week. And say, okay, they pulled another one out, everything's fine. Do we really walk away right now and say, okay, everything's fixed? No, of course we don't. There's some very clear trends emerging. First of all, the dollar dump is still in progress. China now recognizes it's a distinct vulnerability, and China has been moving slowly to diversify out of treasury holdings, dollar holdings, for some time now, but the pace has accelerated. China is buying foreign companies with cash, with dollars. That's a good way to leave somebody else holding the cash, and China gets what I've been recommending that everybody else get for a long time, which is hard assets. And that's going to be continuing to accelerate. And as the dollar dump continues, there's a flight to safe, what are perceived as safe currencies. None can absorb the volume of wealth that's amassed in dollars. But the two listed currencies are the Swiss franc and the Japanese yen. In spite of all that, you know, the Japanese financial house of cards, as hollow as it is, with that at 200% of GDP, people want to go flee to the yen because of its perceived safety. I'll say relative safety. But what's one of the immediate fallouts of this last week is that the yen is gaining in strength. The yen's now trading in the range of about 75, 76 to the dollar. Now, what Japanese industry and manufacturing needs, the third largest economy in the world. We'll get to its GDP and what's going on there later on. Japan needed their yen to be trading at 82 to 83 for the dollar because all world trade is denominated in dollars. And if the yen's at 82, 83, it's cheap enough, it's incentive for people to come that they can buy more in Japan. If they only get 75, 76, there's a great incentive to look elsewhere. This is just one of the many aspects of the continuing weakening of the dollar, which is not going to go away as a result of this deal. And if there's nothing else with regard to what we've learned from this past week, I would say that it's an absolute certainty that every American now understands that there are ends to bailouts. There are times when bailouts can no longer be done, and there are costs for bailouts. As I was talking, you know, from 2008, 2009, 2010, after the movie Collapse came out, you know, I would talk to people who would share the conventional wisdom du jour among the zombies, which was that, oh, they'll just have another bailout. They'll just print more money. They'll just keep doing that. And, you know, I would shake my head and make faces that people know that I make. And but now it's clear there is an end to bailouts, and there is an end to all of this. And we realize now, I think many more people truly understand that we are just kicking a can down the road because here's the one fundamental underlying thing that all of the politicians and all of the IMFs and the EUs and the Federal Reserves and the U.S. Congresses and all have in common. It's a word called growth. Everything and every, as I was listening to as much as I could stand of the events over the last few days, I would hear the word growth crop up. Until we can get growth back, until we can resume healthy, normal growth, until we can, growth is is over. And that's the one thing that's starting to dawn on almost everybody around the world. One of the things, too, that looks like it is emerging out of this budget compromise, a debt ceiling compromise, is that, yes, we will, Virginia, have a super Congress. The clause creating the super committee apparently was in the text of the bill that the Senate has approved. And so that's going to be passed on. And it's, of course, it's extra constitutional. I mean, I don't care. And why don't I care? Because understanding in this case is the booby prize. If we didn't stand up over the Patriot Act, if we didn't stand up over Homeland Security, if we didn't stand up over the 2000 election, we're not going to stand up over the Super Congress. And understanding what these idiots are trying to do now is, to me, wasted energy. I don't trust any of it. We had this week, too, some interesting developments, and it was a good learning lesson for me, too. In April, at CollapseNet, for those of you who are members, I issued an alert. And what I said clearly was, we have until July. Now, and what I said in that alert was, earnings reports would show, post-Fukushima, that Japan had a really devastating impact on the global economy. Now, some of the earnings reports were cooked, but I started getting hammered by, I don't know what you call them. There's no such thing as zombie lights. You're saying, okay, some of the earnings reports in the middle of the month were coming in strong. And I said, well, you know, yeah, but look at the carnage that's happening. And we had published a couple of good stories showing how companies cook their books. And so I said the month ain't over yet, too. That was my point. And if you remember and you go to look at CollapseNet and find the video, even a caveman could see it coming, you'll see that I said end of July, early August, we're going to see this. And here it is. This is the same thing. And what was so funny during this last week after all of these people had unloaded on me, you know, saying, you got it wrong about the earnings report. And I said, yeah, but I got it right about the world. We had a week where earnings reports came in devastating around the world. Siemens, Caterpillar, not Japanese companies, and of course all the Japanese companies just were miserable. And the White House this week even issued a statement blaming what they call the measly 1.3% GDP growth last quarter. And they blamed it on earnings reports and the effects of Fukushima. That was out of the White House. You know, that just brings up, you know, just an important fundamental thing that's so important to me as I talk to lifeboat builders out here, which is you have to understand what issues are important to focus on and which ones not to put your energy in. Throughout the course of the show tonight, by the way, the lines are all open. I have nothing in the inbox. That's fine. I'm here for you guys tonight. If you want to call in, the number is 1-888-874-4888, 888-874-4888, or you can email me directly at lifeboathour@collapsenet.com. Okay, so going back to that, you have to know what to get excited about. And clearly the big picture is getting real ugly. And something else came up as a result of that little exchange. And as far as I'm concerned, I got it dead on right in my April alert. I might not have phrased it perfectly, but if you're sentient, you get the picture. But some of the people who were upset had clearly been coming to me for coming to CollapseNet for investment advice. They were playing the stock market. And which prompted me to make a realization, that I've changed my position about that. Over the years, I have not cared at my lectures, over 75 lectures in 8 countries or something like that, and a lot of universities, when people were playing the market and they asked me questions about how to play the market. But you know what? Now I am. I don't want to have anything to do with the market, and I've reached a point in my absolute hatred, loathing of the infinite growth paradigm, its stupidity, its murderousness, it's what it's doing to our Mother Earth, to each other, and everything else, that if you're playing the stock market from this point on, I think you're probably a zombie because you're helping to keep this rapacious system alive and functioning. But I've never owned a house either, so what do I know? So there's one more thing. We got a caller on the line, but I want to tell this little story too quickly. Yesterday, I got an email from John Barnes, our supervising editor at CollapseNet. And it had a link to a Ron Paul video, and it was like it was a fresh video. And I went and looked at the video and said, posted July 28th. And I watched this video of Ron Paul, and I watched the most stirring speech in the context of the debt debate that I had seen. It was like he was calling for a revolution. He was very specific. He was very clear on the role of the intelligence agencies, on bringing the military home, on and so we found out, however, that this was a 15-month-old tape, and John wrote an apology on that. He assumed it was new too and sent it on to me, and I took his word for it. But what was amazing was that 15-month-old presentation by Ron Paul was exactly what we needed to hear today, and he described, especially in terms of the really rapidly increasing civil unrest around the world, he was so prescient, it was like the tape could have been made today or yesterday. And I so wish that he maintains that kind of fire. And so I came to another realization last week, which is that I will absolutely support Ron Paul for president in 2012. And I will do so unabashedly. I'm not saying he's perfect, but he's going to get 100% of my support for sure. He's an honest man, and he sees clearly the devastation that is looming as a result of the insane worshiping of infinite growth, the sacrifice to infinite growth on the altars in Washington, D.C. and New York City. We may actually not even get to next year's election. That's 15 months away. Good grief. You know, I think things are going to go haywire long before that. I don't know whether we're going to have one or not, but Ron, do it, dude. Just do it, and CollapseNet will be there for you. CollapseNet's doing real good. We love all the feedback we get about our new homepage design and the way we're bringing the breaking news to you, stories to you. That's a tough job for me to try to pick every day what has to go up there, but we're learning, and we're trying to pick the stories that will give you a clear picture of what's going on in the world and also alert you to to things that are imminent or dangerous. We're going to get to some of those in a second. But now I want to take one call, then I'm going to come back and do our new white trash song, because it's kind of a special, very important new white trash thing we've got to do tonight. Got a call from Jim in Orange County, New York. Jim, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Speak to me. What's up, Bill?
How are you?
I'm good.
Okay. This is a little bit off the what you're doing. It's not economic. It's about farming and organic gardening.
Oh, that's fine. Go ahead.
I have fruit bushes, berry bushes, and fruit trees, and it's been about 3 years and not doing very well with it. I had two trees fall over. I had to stake them up. And yesterday another one went over. When I tried to straighten it out, pulled it right out, no roots. And I don't know what's happening with that. I was told maybe I should use more fertilizer. All I've been using is fish emulsion. I was told that maybe Osmocote. I've never heard of it. But I'm on a well, so I'm trying to be sensitive to anything I use. And with the berry bushes, they say only do in the beginning of the year and the end of the year. You know, beginning of the season, end of the season.
Right.
I don't know if that's enough because I'm not getting any berries, on the bushes either.
Well, I'm not sure. I could have an answer for you, but I think some of the listeners will. We have good numbers tonight, so let's see if anybody feeds back into that. You can call in at 888-874-4888 or send me an email, lifeboathour@collapsenet.com. We'll see if we can help Jim out. This is a learning process for me too. I'm on these 2 acres in Sebastopol. I'm just outside of Sebastopol, and we've got like 41 edibles, and we've got some great land, great microclimates here. And we just got chickens, and I lost a chicken today. So my dog snuck in the cage when I opened the door to put the chickens in and chased one out and flew away, or you know, off into the berry, as a matter of fact. So this is all stuff that we put up with. I'm lucky to have around me here in West Sonoma County an enormous wealth of experience to draw on with issues. So anybody who's listening tonight who can help Jim out, please give us a call in. I got to move on. Geez, we're starting to get some stuff in. Jim, thank you very much for calling. Let's see if we can help you. I got to do something now that's real important to me. We got some emails coming in, but leading up to the new White Trash song, and you've heard me talk it's been almost a year that we've been doing this show right now, about New White Trash and this great experience that I had after the filming of the documentary Collapse to finally do something that I had wanted to do for my whole life, which was to sing and write songs. I had been a bar singer for years off and on. I sang at the Boathouse Restaurant on the Santa Monica Pier, and the Horn in Santa Monica, and Brendan's Pub in Marina Del Rey. But I wanted to be back with a band. That's really all I ever wanted to do. I just seemed to have this other life path I had to take. But at any rate, I don't play any instruments. I was too busy doing other things. But I knew I had some musical chops. But I met this guy at the dog park named Doug Lewis, and his dog Squishy and my dog Rags became best friends. And I watched the way this guy handled his dog, and he's a really gentle guy. And we kind of hit it off. And it turned out he was just this amazing musician and songwriter, and we became friends, and we became New White Trash. And Doug Lewis gave me something that may be the most important thing, a meaningful thing that's been given to me in a long time, which was he opened the door and allowed me to discover that I could be a songwriter and that I could sing original material and make some good music. And I don't know how you repay debts like that. There are many nights around Doug's campfires and fires outside the studio at his house in Venice, and we just hung out. And over the last several years, Doug has battled stage 4 cancer, as well as the complications that have arisen from many surgeries during the time. It's like he has zippers. It's now been about 8 years that he's been in treatment or recovering from 14 surgeries, and the reality is it's been close to impossible for my friend Doug Lewis to create a consistent income. The ongoing cost of doctor bills, hospital stays, medication, you know, have taken a really crippling financial toll on my good friend. And I realize the context in which we're doing this, the world canvas upon which I'm making this, which makes it all the more meaningful. I'm doing this because I can, and because I'm honoring the importance of friendship. It's time to reach out because Doug needs some help, and you can all help tonight. And if you've enjoyed New White Trash songs, the songs that Dougie and I wrote together with Andy Kravitz, and you know, we sang with Kristen Vigard and Kara Tompkins, and all the great people. you can help out and you can say thanks, because my friend needs some help right now. He's down there in Venice and there's not much I can do for him. It does take a village, and sometimes it's important just for us to acknowledge, if not in ourselves or for our own friends, but the value of respecting and cherishing that otherwise. So Doug needs some help, and what I want you to do is you can either send money, and I'm going to tell you about that real quick, or you can go to the website newwhitetrash.com. You can download all the songs, 37 originals for $11.11. You can order a CD. You can also send a check or donate to Doug through PayPal. Doug just had another surgery this week. He's had a couple in the last few months, and boy, they really kicked his ass. And he just had another one this week. I hope he's listening tonight. He knows I'm doing this. You can go to PayPal, and you can make a donation through his email address at DougTownXL, DougTownXL. At mac.com. That PayPal account will get to him right away. Or you could write a check if you want to do that. You just make the check out to Doug Lewis, but he's not able to get his mail right now. So you would send it to Doug's good friend, my good friend too, Gabrielle Uro. Gabrielle, Y-U-R-O. And she is at 4635 Atoll, A-T-O-L-L, Avenue in Sherman Oaks, California. 91423, that's Gabrielle Uro, 4635 Atoll, Avenue, Sherman Oaks, California. 91423. But remember DougtownXL at Mac.com and NewWhiteTrash.com. Anything you do, all of the proceeds from the sales of our double CD, double wide, have been going to Doug ever since we released it to take care of him, because he put a lion's share of the work into that. And he's, you know, like my best friend. And his dog Squishy is my dog Rags' best friend. So I needed to do that tonight for my friend and a fellow musician. And I hope we all remember the times to do that, just to keep one star, one good thing shining out there for what's good about our species. So the song tonight, and pardon me for the long talk with that, is I'm sure Doug would say it's probably the best of the bunch, but it's the song on which Doug and I clicked the most and collaborated the most. It's now my signature song, but we were sitting around and we talked about this song from start to finish, and I said I like something with an open D tuning like Stephen Stills used to play on the guitar, and our friend Michael Yost, an incredible guitar player who has several tracks on the CD, he's a local there in Venice, showed us an open C tuning, C sharp tuning. I'll be all right. And we talked about what the song was going to be about, and all of a sudden Doug came back with playing these amazing chords. And it took moments for me to start to hear the lyrics and the melody for Avalanche and Earthquake. Here we go. mastered on that song by Bob Rice, who is a legend in the industry. Bob was his last project before New White Trash was for Roger Waters of Pink Floyd, and before that he works with Robbie Krieger of The Doors, who is a local there in Venice too, obviously. And you can find that song and all of the songs, the sale of which will go to help my friend and bandmate Doug Lewis at www.newwhitetrash.com. I got about a minute before break. Got a bunch of emails come in now. The first one comes in from, hold on a minute, let me expand the window. It says, it's from Michael F. He says, I'm hearing all over the joint that the world is going to be 2 to 3 million barrels of oil a day short in the second half of 2011 due to the Gulf of Mexico shutdown and the revolution in Libya. What does that mean? Spot shortages in the third world? Well, Michael, just to clarify, it's not due to the Gulf of Mexico and it's not due to the revolution in Libya. It's due to peak oil. It's due to the fact that we have a global decline rate probably in excess of 9 or 10% right now. Every year that much less is available while demand is still growing. So what you see when you see devastating impacts from the Gulf, geez, have we forgotten the Gulf of Mexico? Or Libya, that's because there's no elasticity in the markets to compensate. The only thing that will happen is, as a result, is that prices will go up again. And we flirted with $100 oil about a week ago, a few days ago. And now it's dropped because the global economic picture has darkened. The global GDP is shrinking. Of course, the cooked books say otherwise, but the rate of growth is diminishing rapidly. It's causing alarm. But what it means is peak oil. That's what it is. Spot shortages happening currently in South Africa. There were riots when the stations had gone out of or had run out of fuel. That's not the third world. But in Pakistan right now, as I was going to mention this later in the show, the Pakistani fire departments have no gasoline to get to the fires. Welcome to Collapse. Whole bunch of emails coming in. We're at the bottom of the hour going to a break. The song we're taking out with is a new White Trash song that is all Doug Lewis. I sang some background on this, but it's just a great love song. It's called One Good Reason. We'll see you after the break.
It's that street sign. Two of us twisted and twirling like a creeper. To believe in anything but you.
What a great song. I love that song. It was fun singing back up on that with Doug and Kara. We've had a few emails coming in. You can find that song at www.newwhitetrash along with 37 other originals. A couple of emails have come in asking me to repeat Doug's information. If you'd like to donate to Doug, please and thank you already. PayPal is probably the easiest way you would use Doug's email address. Doug Lewis, L-E-W-I-S, Doug, but his email address is DougTownXL, Dougtown, X-ray, Lima, at Mac.com, DougTownXL at Mac.com. PayPal donations there. If you'd like to send a check, make it out to Doug Lewis, but send it care of Gabrielle Euro, Y-U-R-O, at 4635 Atoll, A-T-O-L-L, Avenue, in Sherman Oaks, California, 91423. And thank you for that, and I'm sure Doug will thank you for that too, and thanks to everybody who has been asking about that. Just several of you now, thank you. I like that. Okay, we got a whole bunch of emails here. Let's start to nail down on some of these, then I can get to my other stories later on. Okay, this is from Andy. He says, hey, Mike, you guys have spoken a bit about the cartel stealing oil. I would like to hear some discussion, maybe between yourself and Dmitry Orlov. Hi, Dmitry, if you're out there, about how we can expect the Mexican cartels to diversify into the black market for presently legal items, such as non-narcotic pharmaceuticals, rather than what will they move. I would like to, any ideas on how they will insinuate, into a still white majority in the regions beyond the immediate border. Speak on it, amigo. Okay, voy a hablar. This is a great question, and this is a trend that we've seen emerging on the World News Desk at CollapseNet consistently recently. which is organized crime is getting much more aggressive, both here in the States and in Mexico. They are stealing fuel from pipelines, from refineries, wherever they can steal it. That's going on the black market. But what you will see as governments fail is power vacuums left open. And I had a really cool learning experience when I was at Tom Brown's Tracker School in February up in the Santa Clara Mountains up here in Northern Cal. There was a gang member there attending the school, and we hit it off really well. And he said, you know, homie, what's going to happen in Los Angeles is that when everything goes to shit, the gangs will hold things together. And that is going to be a role. Now, the cartels in Mexico, of course, are going to be much more ruthless and profit-motivated than the gangs in East Los. But it's going to play out in a similar way, and it's going to play out that way, I'm afraid, in most of this country as well. We see enormous expansion of organized crime activities into hijacking food shipments. Now it's the copper theft is stupid. It's just getting so organized, and they're moving in on all of that, and they will move in eventually, I'm sure, on food deliveries and shipments, and they will move in on water. They will move in on everything that controls life, and that's going to be the way it is. Plato was offered choices about, you know, I forget what the choices were, you know, freedom, etc., but order was one of them, and Plato chose order over everything else, and there is a natural pursuit of some kind of order to make reason out of chaos and anarchy, and chaos, of course, is what's looming all around the world now, and pobre Mexico, I mean, so many people being murdered down there. It was 20,000-30,000 this year alone. We've kind of lost track of those stories along the way, haven't we? Okay, Jim, you called earlier having your problem with your trees, and somebody named, hold on, span the window, named Tim Alley writes in, last winter was pretty severe in that area in New York. Severe frost can cause that problem. That may have been a situational weather thing. Let's see if we got anything more. We'll look. I've got a bunch coming in, so let's see what we got. I'm just going to take them in order here. From James Vincent. Hi, Michael. I would like to speak with you about a 10-year 9/11 memorial being planned, and I hope very much to have you as an honor. Ooh. All right, I'm going to read that later. We know how I feel about 9/11. I mean, it's like, you know, we kind of lost that chance. Although I am, and thank you, we had a couple of callers' feedback on my expressed desire to speak on the 10th anniversary of 9/11. And up in Portland, we're trying to pursue a couple things there. Of course, everybody's working in the frame of mind now. Geez, do we have time to put something like that together? But I'll read that one and deal with it off the show. Shand Walton. Hi, Mike. While I think that Ron Paul is better than the other same old choices, isn't the next president going to be a promotion to captain of the Titanic shortly before it plunges into the icy depths of oblivion? While I've supported Ron Paul, I think it might behoove him to sit this one out, continue speaking the truth, and let the people who created our financial problems take the blame for them. Thanks, Jack. Thanks, Jack? Name is Shan. Whatever. Okay, Shan Jack. I think that assuming that we get to the 2012 election intact as a functioning government and country, not awash in, you know, crime and whatever, that Ron Paul may well win it hands down anyway at the rate these clowns, these servants and worshippers of infinite growth are running it into the ground right now. I think my gut, and this is the way I reacted when I saw that tape, even though it was 15 months old, and y'all might want to go to the CollapseNet website and just take a look at that video. I wish you'd given that speech yesterday. I think that he's an honest guy, and I think that he can, if he takes office, reduce the amount of damage that is done or that will be done. the troops need to come home now from everywhere. Non-interventionist foreign policy, period. We need to redo so many things in the economic and financial system. And he's been very consistent on his protection of civil liberties, and he is extremely concerned that with the social unrest and crime that is now exploding around us, that that we will be put into a position where we will beg for the fascist dictatorship out of fear. And this is my difference with all those people who just stop at a new world order. That's only going to last for a short period of time. Here I go back to a great movie called Whiteout. It's coming out of Scotland. It's a scary movie. It really is. It will shake you. But it takes you through the course of the collapse and what you see in that movie, which the director Laurie Brewster wrote to me and said the script was, I believe, based upon my life's work. Was that the government just fades away? The troops eventually pull out. Their numbers are reduced, and eventually, what's left is nothing. And that's what we all need to be looking at. And for right now, and that's what we need to prepare for. And I think Ron Paul will lessen the amount of damage that is done in terms of lives lost and resources wasted if he is elected in 2012. He's not going to save the Titanic. What he's going to do is he's going to make it easier for many, many more people to safely get off the Titanic. And you know, he was in my video, Ron Paul was in my video, Truth and Lies of 9/11. That was a lecture I filmed at Portland State University in October of 2001. And then I went back to Washington, and Ron was there, and he is a what you see is what you get guy. You know, he doesn't even have to acknowledge peak oil. I'm not going to sound like a puritanical dogmatic fool here. Ron gets it, but he gets all the work on CIA and drugs. He's even referred, he almost quoted Rubicon. He didn't name the book, but he went on 15, 20 minutes about CIA and drugs. He's an honest man. He gets it, and he's practical. And he's head and shoulders above anybody else. So anyway, that's enough me rattling on about that. So let's just hope that he's in a position to lead or in a position to do something if we need it before the 2012 presidential election. Robert Cook sends in an email. Just read an article that Shell is going to be transporting LNG on barges by cooling them to minus 160 Celsius. So it only takes one. Yes, yeah. Back at From the Wilderness, which was my newsletter for 8 years, from 1998 through 2006, we wrote quite a bit about LNG and its pitfalls. And basically, you're correct. You can compress liquefied natural gas by getting it cooled to minus 160 degrees. And you put it in this huge pressure vessel on this giant ship. And what it is, it's a floating bomb. There has been, I think, one or two LNG tankers have gone up. But not only that, but LNG terminals are highly explosive. Like, nobody wants one of those, not in their neighborhood. Forget the backyard. But this is the kind of desperation that's out there now. And this is a kind of desperation spoken logically, where we're getting to the point where nobody cares about the net energy investment, net energy return on investment. It's just get the energy, because the infrastructure that's here won't run on anything else, and we waited too long to change it. We've got some more emails. I want to take a minute, too, and talk just a little bit about the CollapseNet. We got something pretty exciting coming up there, too. Again, I want to thank everybody. 12, 13 members when I last looked, now 64 countries. I've been hearing a lot about from our members in Israel. That's good. I do want to talk about Israel a bit later. But what we've got exciting that's coming out this week, probably, on CollapseNet. We have to finish one last video. We're going to launch a way for people to make money. People who are fans of CollapseNet, people who are part of this consciousness. It's called an independent contractor sales agreement. I call it ICSA, which is great. but it's a very clear, straightforward pass through 20% of all commission for new subscriptions that you get using a promotion code that is yours and yours alone after you sign up in our materials. 20% of all commissions that you generate will pass directly through to you, and your incentive for that is anyone who uses your promotion code will get a 10% discount off their membership at CollapseNet. And as long as they renew, they're there. Once we have banners, and for those of you who are real web savvy, we have the way to implant the banners with the codes on any number of websites to send out through lists. And what happens once you get them placed, or if you put them on a flyer, they're passive income generators. So once they're out there, people can see them, and as long as they see them and as long as that code is used, you get the 20%. There'll be a month delay. We got to clear the cards. It took us eight months to put this together. Our vice president, Wes Miller, put his heart and soul into this, and we're just getting it launched even in these shaky times. But CollapseNet, we want to thank you for all of your support. It's very clear that you like what we're doing there, and we're doing something that nobody else is doing right now, and we'd like to get a lot bigger. We still got 21 people, and they're not all on payroll yet. We need to build our lifeboats, but we also want to bring you a lot more services, more stories, more coverage, so that we can really help you do what we've been helping you to do since we started, which is stick your finger to the wind and find out what you got to worry about, and also to find answers for how you relocalize, start growing your own food, how you build community, how you do all the things that are going to be needed to survive this transition as human industrial civilization continues to collapse. So that's going to be coming up next week. And if you're fans out there, it's just an easy way. And if you got a website, you got some emails, you want to print some flyers, all you got to do is sign up real quick, get a promo code, and that's maybe some extra money for you. Greg Sarmas writes, do you believe the Alex Jones type of message in regards to the New World Order's plans to drastically reduce our population? Do you think, would it even matter? Okay, well, Greg, I don't like anything that Alex Jones does, because this information, in order to be effective, has to be 95% accurate. But I have been saying for 10 years, so has all the entire peak oil movement, so that population reduction is inevitable. Inevitable. And I have a whole chapter in my book, Crossing the Rubicon, which I wrote 7 years ago, which is in the Harvard Business Library, on biological warfare and the search for gene-specific bioweapons. There is no question that population reduction is on order, is underway, I think, even though we'll hit our 7 billionth person in October of this year. I saw a story this week. Population is still growing, but people are dying very quickly, and the rate of population growth is shrinking rapidly. 12 million people on the brink of starvation, are dying of thirst in Africa. And 1,550 tons of radioactive sludge in Japan floating around out of control. And who knows how many Japanese cows who have eaten hay tainted with cesium have been sold and consumed by how many tens or hundreds of thousands of Japanese. Yeah, that's coming. It's called the die-off. And that is an inevitable part of what the collapse of human industrial civilization will bring, my friend. There are 10 calories of hydrocarbon energy in every calorie of food in the industrialized world. And you take away the energy, you take away the food. That simple. And that's why it's so important to relocalize food production, to get into organic farming and permaculture. I'm a permaculture student, and I'm having fun with it here in Sebastopol. It is a life-changing experience. Do it because it's what you should have been doing anyway. So anyway, okay, we got some more questions in. We got a question from Kevin Okabe. Hi, Kevin. Hi, Mike. What are your thoughts on small-scale biodiesel production? Okay, P.S., I've been pulling for you since 9/11. Thanks for all you've done. Thank you, man. Small-scale biodiesel is going to be extremely important as a stopgap, yes, because you can make biodiesel fairly easily where you live if you have access to fat from fast food restaurants, It's a little bit more complicated to make from plant material. It's much more complicated to make directly from plant material. But for as long as you can get the fats, you can make biodiesel very easy, and that's why within this the lifeboat movement, within the consciousness of post-petroleum human, I'd say maybe one in six or seven people I know have diesel cars, and I've seen many home stills, if you will, for biodiesel. That's going to be very important for as long as we can get the vegetable oils and the fat. It's more complicated to make if you're going direct from plant material, and that's not going to be viable. But what we want are options, and that's one of the ones that are available, and it's one that I think that if you've got the knack, the inclination out of diesel, yeah, go for it. Hey, Jim, we got an answer on your apple trees here. Okay, this is from Action Gnome. Young apple trees may need extra support for a number of years while they establish themselves. I'm a washing apples here. I have four apple trees on my property, and these are elders, but I've learned that. Also, while they are developing, I better drink some tea, otherwise I'm going to start coughing again. Also, while they are developing, it is advisable to keep their entire root mass moist and nourished. A good fish emulsion is fine for food. Some mulch around the trunk will help hold moisture and heat, which can really save trees when we have cold winters like last year. You may also want to look into possible soil or pest problems. Yeah, mulching is extremely important. That's from Aaron in Portland, Oregon. We're on 2 acres, and I weed whack all 2 acres. A lot of it's not developed. But there's a lot of grass, and we use that grass extensively for mulch, and mulching is very important. I've also got some citrus trees down, planted those myself. I've got a Rio Red grapefruit, a lemon tree, and a lime tree, and that particular bed, which is on a very sunny microclimate here that we have, it's a little banana belt on one part of the land. We have that mulched up real well, and I'm already starting to get some fruit, so that's also good to hold the heat and the moisture in the ground. So, 6:55, 5 minutes left in the hour. You know, I had all these great stories, and let me just run through a few of these so you get a picture of what's going on out there. And I want to thank everybody in advance for any help that you can send to my friend Doug Lewis. I'm sure he'll appreciate it, too, if you've enjoyed the new white trash music that we've played for you. He's the other big part of where it came from. China. 15 people died in bomb and knife attacks in restive Chinese province of Xinjiang. And this rail crash they had of their high-speed rail in China, boy, that's about ready to start a revolution. There's apparently some absolutely stupid bonehead design flaws. Nobody bought the story that a lightning strike caused a signal light to turn from red to green. But China tried to cover it up, and the Chinese people have been very upset. This is one of their flagship. China's got the engine of growth, et cetera, the projects, and that's the civil unrest is really getting strong in China, as it is all over the world. But in Israel, guys, I've been covering Israel, and they're having many stories will be on the World News Desk tomorrow, all headline stories. Here's one from by Dan Williams of Reuters that was published today at about 9 p.m. Eastern, I guess it was. Jerusalem. Israel's government hit back on Sunday at protests against the rising cost of living, saying some reforms being demanded might lead to economic crises like those besetting parts of Europe and the United States. The warning followed marches by some 100,000 demonstrators. There's other stories saying as much as high as 200,000 or 300,000. The raids prompted the resignation of a top Treasury official, and old Bibi Netanyahu's really facing a revolt by the middle class. He's getting ready to recess Parliament to suspend. I mean, Israel. The thing that's bothered me about this, and there are other stories from Guardian today, thousands protest in Israel over house prices and low salaries. That'll be on the World News Desk tomorrow. Haaretz reports on the quitting of the running in flames covering his ass finance minister. But the one thing that I've noticed from the videos that we've seen and posted on CollapseNet throughout the week is that all of the Israeli protesters look like they're from a Gap commercial from about 1998. They all look so healthy and well-fed and well-dressed. And I would love to hear more, and I'm asking anybody who's in Israel to contact me at CollapseNet, contact us, contact me here at the Lifeboat Hour, and tell me, is it just a generational thing? Is it just low wages and hard to find living? What's really at the heart of the protests? How angry are the people? Because I'm getting some direct feedback saying that people were calling for revolution, which is, of course, of great concern given the fact that Syria exploded yesterday. I don't know how many more people were massacred in Syria, and that whole region is still in flames. But I've said that with the Rupert Murdoch thing that that Israel is under intense pressure too, but Israel is in a very unique situation, a very small country. I've called it a time bomb inside a pressure vessel. So instability is everywhere. And speaking of that, in India, this will be on the World News Desk tomorrow, a mob attacked three persons and tried to kill them, suspecting that they were witches. Yep, sanity is vanishing as quickly as a cheap and abundant oil. In Pakistan, fire stations may stop functioning by tomorrow. Quote, fuel supply to the fire department of the Karachi Metropolitan Corporation has not yet been restored, and it's feared that all 21 fire stations of the city would stop functioning in case diesel was not provided to them. Don't have a fire in Karachi tomorrow. Poor Japan. Japan is now on maximum alert for severe flooding in northern Japan, according to Al Jazeera. That's going to damage a lot of the food crops, and if they didn't have enough problems with everything else going on there. And the Japanese economy is imploding now as a result of the rising strength of the yen, which is due to the weakening strength of the dollar, et cetera, et cetera. And get ready for quantitative easing 3. Hey, guys, keep laughing. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep finding people to love. Make some music. Plant something to eat. Build your lifeboat. Build your community. I'll be here as long as I can. We're going to ride through this together. Here we go. So I'll see you next week on the Lifeboat Hour. May have a guest next week. I think I may have... if things haven't blown up, I think our guest next week will be Peter Charles Downey, the director of an incredible movie about Gaian spirituality called Anima Mundi, which should be released very shortly here. I've seen it. I've screened it here. It's an amazing film which taught me so much. And we may have him as a guest next week. So come back. See us at the Lifeboat Hour. Until then, it's Mike Rupert saying adios, MF.